Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We're live worldwide on the award-winning Close Up Radio, which is a service of the Telly Award-winning Close Up Television and Radio. A real pleasure to have you here today, and hope you are doing well. Thanks so much for joining us and making us a part of your day today as well. We're very excited to welcome a very special guest, Bonnie Gisriel Magruder. She's joining us here on the show live from Orlando, Florida. You know, it's really an amazing story that she's sharing with us, because as the founder of B-Powered Coaching, that is, where she has taken the lessons that she's learned through her many entrepreneurial quests on from a tragic day to help leaders become even better leaders. She and her husband, Scott, woke up on a particular morning preparing for their company EC Events, biggest event of the year, at a military base in Virginia, and she would end the day a widow. Her husband collapsed from a heart attack in the middle of the event, and he was only 51. Looking back at the day, she says she can remember every detail, every smell, every cloud in the sky. And without her leadership skills and her faith, she said there's no way that she could have made it through the day. And in the hours that followed her husband's passing, Bonnie personified grace under fire, leading her employees to finish the job through crisis. She said her kids needed to see that strength, but most importantly, the people who worked for them needed to see that everything kept moving forward, and it keeps moving forward in life. It's the leader piece. How do you give back? What can you do better? What can you give to someone else, even through tragedy? What's beautiful about stories like this, I have to tell you, everybody listening to our show right now, is when we have guests who don't just, you know, do something because it's the in thing to do, but guests who are doing something out of the joy, the blessing, and also out of the result of their own personal experiences. It makes somebody like Bonnie very relatable, human, somebody who is empathetic, somebody who you can connect with, somebody who can relate and understand, somebody who creates a safe space for you to share and emote and share your experiences. There's really nothing better. You can have somebody who, you know, is an expert at something, but if you have an expert who also has been there in the trenches, who has experienced the wrath of different emotions and scenarios that you might be going through, there really is nothing better and more impactful and more effective. Bonnie says most people don't figure out that they're not a great leader until they're deep in it. So many leaders believe it's all about profit, and that's because most entrepreneurs have no background in leadership. And you know, you never know when you're going to rise to the occasion of rolling up your sleeves and becoming a leader through osmosis, through training, or just somebody says, hey, we need you to go in there and make it happen. Bonnie works with folks, you know, who are true leaders, servant leaders. You have to give back to your people and treat them the way you need to be treated so they feel fulfilled and continue to grow. And one of the things that we talk about a lot on our series on Close Up Radio is how the role of the definition of a leader has changed dramatically and in a really good, positive way. Won't you join me in welcoming Bonnie live and direct from Orlando, Florida, again from B-Powered Coaching. Bonnie, thanks so much for joining us here on the show today. It's a pleasure, and we welcome you.
Thank you so much for having me today. And I loved the speech. Man, I should just use you as my whole marketing piece. That was fantastic.
Well, it's an interesting thing. People have said to me many, many times that I've either interviewed or just in everyday life, three things that seem to be coming back at me, and now they make sense. I can, you know, put words to what I've always felt since I was a kid. High-level empath, intuitive, operating from a higher consciousness. So now I know what it is that I've always experienced and how I've followed my own path. This is why I really think people like yourself who do what you do, who step up at times when a lot of other people turn the other way, pull the shades down, and you don't see them again, through your experiences, you're the facilitator of all of this empowerment. Tell us about that. Tell us a little bit more about your inspirational journey, some of your life's journey, and the things you realized about yourself and your own passion and thirst for life, pointing you in the direction of wanting to help others and do this kind of work.
Well, I think it's interesting. I started teaching dance as an assistant dance teacher when I was 14, and I just could feel the little girls' excitement in everything you taught them, and they took back and practiced. And I think it started right then. It was this love of watching somebody learn something and grow from it, and it just happened naturally over time. Everything I would get myself involved with, I always ended up as a leader in the group because I'm always about making sure everybody else is empowered to do the things that they should do or better than they can do. And slowly over time, it just sort of naturally came to me. People would ask me questions, especially after I opened my first two businesses. How'd you do it? Where'd it come from? How do you stand up and hire people? And how do you do these things? And people just started asking me questions. I just kept answering them. Slowly but surely, as I went into a real estate career in construction, I had real estate agents and construction owners that would come and talk to me, you know, how do I get better? How do I do better for my people? And it just, you know, how do I make myself more profitable? It just sort of happened naturally. I remember sitting at the table in my house one night with an agent, and my husband walked in the door and said, do you know if she can get paid to do this, right? And the agent said, she does know that she's tripled my income this year by just keeping me accountable to the things I said I wanted to do. And the very next week, she showed up with a check and said, I've done some research. This is what I'm going to pay you to keep talking to me. And I thought, she's crazy. And then I started doing a ton of research. Like, I have been a big reader because of my parents, I'm sure. And I've had some great mentors along the way that said, read this book, read this leadership book, read this growth book. You know, keep your mind moving as an adult. Just because school is over doesn't mean you stop learning and growing and, you know, go to that convention because there's an interesting speaker that's going to give something back to you. And I think I just took all of that and, like I said, I started doing research like, oh, I actually could get paid to do this and this is what I'm doing anyway. And it just kind of sparked from there. I got really interested. And then I got very lucky and met some amazing women that are coaches, different type of coach than I am, but coaches nonetheless and for business people. And I just loved it. And I feel like I jumped in feet first and said, okay, this is what I'm going to do. And I was rolling along pretty well. And then I and my husband and I have owned multiple businesses together. And when I lost them, I took a break. I took some time off. And yeah, this was good because I went back and actually got my John Maxwell certification because I just love his whole take on leadership and who we should be as leaders. I'm sorry?
He's amazing, isn't he, John Maxwell?
Yes. Yes, he is. Yeah. And there's a million leadership programs you can go through and classes you can take. And I've taken all kinds of coaching, you know, coaching classes all across the board in lots of industries. But this was the most impactful for me because I have his product that I actually take to a client. I mean, my young leaders, because I do some work with some young leaders, I usually hand them the Failing Forward book. That's my gift to them. Read it. You're going to fail. You have to figure out how to fail so that you keep going forward when you fail. It's like just sparks me. Like to take anybody through that goal that they've set for themselves or their organization or them personally and go to the other side. How did they get there? All I did was guide, gave them some tools, kept them accountable, and guided them along the way. And they come to the other end, and they're thanking me. And I'm like, you guys, you did the hard work. I just gave you the right tool. That's all I did. I brought the right thing to the table at the right moment. So I love
That's
it. I love
right.
the journey. I'm super passionate about it. And, you know, I hear so many people, I don't like what I do for a living. I'm like, then change it. And they're like, what do you mean? Like, if you don't like what you do, if it doesn't get you out of bed in the morning and make you want to go to work, you're in the wrong job. That's not where you should be. And I don't feel like my work is a job. I feel like I'm a partner. I get to be in all these different industries and all these different organizations and learn. I feel like I'm learning at the same time they are.
Right. Yes, right. Exactly. And that's a beautiful thing when that happens, right?
Mm-hmm. It is. It is a beautiful thing because it's, you feel like you have come, you've learned lessons, obviously, but you're learning about industries and people and organizations and how things tick. And you take that with you through all of what I do. You know, I can learn something from an organization and say, hey, this might work for someone else. Let me encourage this conversation, or let me introduce the two leaders. I am typically under a non-disclosure with all my clients just because I have some high-profile people that just don't want people to know what they're doing. So that makes it interesting sometimes because, you know, every now and then I do. I have two leaders. Let me, because the two of you should meet. Can I share information? And here's why. Here's why I think you two should be in conversation with each other, because you're headed in the same direction and you're two powerhouses that need to know each other.
That's right.
You know, connection to people too.
Well, that's what it is. It's the connection, exactly. As the founder of Be Powered Coaching, which I have to say, I love the name. I love the title. Letter B,
Thank you.
Then the capital P for Powered. Be Powered, because that's really what it's about. Empowered and being powered. You have taken these lessons that you learned through your own entrepreneurial quests from the experiences with the loss of your husband, and been able to really help leaders become even better leaders through this extraordinary and unique approach. Let's talk about Be Powered Coaching and what makes your style and your experience and the way that you go about coaching your clients unique, different, and maybe special.
Well, I'd like to say that I coach to the whole person. So if someone comes to me, and I coach every level of leadership. You know, I always talk about my CEOs and my big people, because I love that I'm helping them understand that they have to grow the people under them. Because if they're not growing the people under them, they're done as leaders. So they've got to grow those people under them and make them powerhouses. But I love it when I get one that's just young and new to the position they're in. They might manage some people, maybe not, but they're looking up. How do I go there? What do I need to do? What do I need to do with my leadership skills and my influence? Because that's really what being a leader is what your influence is. How do I get the influence so that I go up that ladder? Here's where I want to go. How do I get there? I love those people because they're driven. They're driven to find the disciplines and put the self-growth in place. And how do they get there? That is the most fun I can ever have.
Yes.
They want to be there. They want to grow. And usually their plan isn't, you know, a lot of people say, I'm going to do a 6-month coaching contract. My question always is, how? How can you do a 6-month coaching contract? Learning something takes time. Leadership doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't take, you know, 60 days or 90 days to get that skill or grow that influence. It takes time. So my uniqueness is I coach to the whole person. I make them sign a year contract with me. They have a commitment with me for a year. We're on that journey together. They know exactly what to expect from me and what I expect from them, that they're going to do their homework. They're going to stay time on task. They're going to be present with me. That means no phone, no computer. All of it gets left outside. You have to have the conversation to build yourself with no distractions. And it's interesting, you know, occasionally somebody will test one of those things, especially the phone these days. But I really try to stick to it. I want everyone to understand the mission, vision, and values of the organization they're in, whether they're the leader or this younger person. You have to understand the company you want to grow in or that you're trying to grow, and make sure it aligns with your own values. Because sometimes you're in an organization where you have different values than the organization that you're in. That's a conflict that's not going to go away. You can't bury that in leadership skills. You have to align with those values. So I talk about the whole thing. I talk about the person as a whole. I talk about the organization they're in. If they're the CEO, we're talking about what they've built, where it came from, and how and what they want to do with it. And that could be a retirement plan. That could be that they want to grow the people under them because they're still, you know, they're still young in their leadership years, and they want to have a powerhouse company. So where are we going? There are no set rules. What is it we need to do for your organization? Do we need to come in and pull your people and talk to them on a blind study? What do they think of the company? Do they know your mission, vision, and values, which, by the way, is the most shocking thing to do to a big organization because 80% of the people have no idea what the mission, vision, and values are of the organization they work for. I come in and do some staff development for people. We can do, you know, personal evaluations. I do some, you know, like I said, some organizational work. And then some strategic planning, because sometimes a leader or a group of leaders in an organization needs an outside voice. It needs someone that's not part of their company that will look at them and say, are we sure this is a good idea? or, yeah, that sounds fantastic. Where are you going to take it? Where's it going to go? And they just need someone to be that outside voice. So I do a whole bunch of different types of things, but I always go back to, I serve the whole person, because if their home life is a hot mess and their health is not good, you are not going anywhere. That's all coming to work with you. That's all coming to your leadership with you. You have to take care of all of the inside of you too, not just this piece of being the leader of the organization or the leader of the group. You got to take care of you. Now, I don't personally tell them to lose weight or get healthier or go to the doctor, but I do point them in directions of, here's a good health coach I know. Or, you know, maybe you and your wife and your family need to have some family counseling, or you've gone through something where there needs to be a support system in place because you need that. Or I have a leader right now who's actually buying out his partner, and he hired me to help him go. February 1, he wants to be rocking and rolling on what he's going to bring to the organization and take them to the next level. And we had our kind of two power hours together a couple weeks back, and the one thing I sent him home with was, you need to call your wife and take her to dinner without your kids and have an entire conversation about what the next 18 months after February 1st is going to look like, because you're going to be gone. And she needs to be on the board with this growth plan, because she needs to understand that you are no longer going to exist, and that she has all the help and support she can, either with family or you bringing in help, whatever she needs. And he was like, I hadn't thought of any of this. He goes, she just keeps telling me this is great. And I'm like, yes, but does she understand you're going to be gone? You've been the dad that's home every night for dinner. You take the kids. You do all of the things. You're a fantastic father and husband. That's about to change just for the next 18 months. You've made this commitment. You're making a commitment to your organization, and you can't do that without having her on board. And he said, you really do coach to the whole person. I go, I do, because I could take you on that journey, but then we'd be probably talking about a separation because your wife was going to be angry. And he was like, yeah, I don't want to do that. So it's being able to filter through things with people, like what's happening in your world that needs to be addressed too. Are you sure everyone that's important in your life is on board of where you're going and where you want to take your world? People don't talk about that with their spouses or their significant others or their families. Where do you want to go? Where are you taking this? Like, if you asked my dad right now, he could probably tell you exactly what I want to do with my company, where I want to be on the end day. On the end day of, I'm not going to coach for pay anymore, and I get to just teach teenagers and college students how to be amazing. He could tell you exactly what the plan is to get there, because that's what I want to do.
Exactly right. And you're doing it beautifully. You know,
thank you.
It's an interesting question. How do leaders who aren't really effective leaders become leaders in the first place? I would imagine there's a lot of different scenarios where that happens. Sometimes it's just osmosis. Sometimes it's just, hey, we need you to run in there and do something. Or maybe they just feel that they're a leader and just don't really have the coaching and the experience to really, you know, you have to be relatable to people. You've got to express empathy. Tell us about some of that.
Well, what happens is the person has some sort of influence, and people look at influence as they're a leader. They had the influence to get wherever they are. So if they're the entrepreneur, they're the one that had the great idea or the or the nugget that they could sell. So they're a great salesperson. So automatically you think they're a great leader. Think they're a great leader. What happens is they've now opened this organization. They've sold the widget. They're making money. They have staff. And their staff hates them because they do not know how to communicate properly. They are not taking care of their people properly. They're not giving back. And right now, especially in the world we're in now, people need to feel valued and like they're taken care of by their owners. So the owner is stumbling all over themselves trying to figure out why they can't fix it because they don't have the next idea or the next saleable thing to get everybody on board. This is my influence. No, you have to earn their respect. You have to go back to the basics. Communicate. Talk to them. What do they need? And they missed a memo somewhere along the way. And maybe they didn't come from a family that talked about coaching or growing or figuring out that you need to, you know, keep your own personal growth. Read a leadership book. Go to a John Maxwell convention. They're not talking about that. So the poor side just comes into play right there. They don't know any better. And I get that phone call. My staff hates me. How do I fix it? Okay. And they're usually bright, brilliant people who are, and if they call me, they want to learn. They want to learn how to be better.
Yes, that's the key, right? That desire mm-hmm. and the passion. So are we talking about primarily entrepreneurs, not just people who have been promoted into leadership positions with an organization, or really it encompasses it all, right?
Yes, it encompasses it all. It's both types of people because if you got hired in a big organization and the person above you, you learn that your personality will bring you through some things sometimes. And their personality, their influence with other people has brought them up, but they don't know how to take care of anyone now that's under them. They missed a piece. They don't know how to grow or empower the people that are now reporting to them. And it happens across the board in both ways, entrepreneurs and big organizations.
How do you define, from your perspective and your experience, what a true leader is to you?
A true leader to me is a servant leader, hands down. It's the leader who gives back to their people, treating them the way they should be treated, so they can be fulfilled and grow in personally and in the organization. It's professional and personally. It's putting the employee's needs first and helping them develop and perform at the highest potential level they possibly could. I am a big believer the more a leader can give back and grow their people, the more profitable their organization will be. And that doesn't just mean in financial, but in their people. People are attracted to organizations that take care of their people. And everybody says, oh, they have benefits. Okay, benefits are great. But if I'm continuing to encourage you to grow as a person, grow as a leader, you know, grow your life here, that's an even bigger draw for so many, especially our younger generation. You know, those 35 and under are looking for a home that they're taken care of and they're felt good in. And the older leaders are starting to really grasp that idea of what can I do for them? Can I bring in professional development classes? Can I hire them a coach? Can I make a mentorship program come into the office to help, you know, the younger ones learn what it's like to be on the other side? They're learning. So servant leader, hands down. I believe that's the leader you need to be.
Yes, exactly. I agree 100%. We mentioned John Maxwell. What is John Maxwell's perspective on leadership?
Well, it's funny. I feel like I've read, obviously, so many of his books because I can actually teach a good portion of them because I am a coach and a speaker with him. So I actually looked this up a couple weeks ago because I was like, well, I could spit off all of the things, you know, leaders should be developing other leaders and you need to invest in your people. And I was like, I'm going to really look this up. So I did. He says that being a great leader is all about having the genuine willingness and the true commitment to lead others to achieve a common vision goal through positive influence. No leader can ever achieve anything great as long-lasting all alone. Teamwork goes hand in hand with leadership, and leadership is about your people for your people. And I was like, that sums it up very nicely of all of the things that I had quoted and I've stuck all over my office. It's doing what's right for your people, about your people, for your people.
That's exactly right. We've got just a couple minutes left, but
yeah.
I'm curious about your background as a leader and what you learned about leadership from grief.
Yeah, that is a I've been in leadership.
Question that requires
probably my,
a lot more time.
Yeah, my yeah, no, but I mean, honestly, I've been in leadership my entire adult life. And that's not just on an organizational level, but also in my volunteer work. Very quickly, someone says, oh, she's a doer. She's a doer. She knows lots of people. We need you. And I end up on some board of directors. Like my joke was my kids were like, oh gosh, what board are you going to end up on this year? Because I bring that perspective. How can I grow everybody? How can we all be in? Where are we going to take this vision that someone has? When the day that I lost my husband, I had a lot of employees and a lot of temporary employees and friends and people that had known my husband longer than I had, all standing in front of me saying, what do we do? You know, it's the blank stare. What do we do? You know, they're the ones that had known him so long were now grieving as I had been over the last few hours before I came back to the job site, because obviously I was at the hospital. And I was like, my son at the time was 24, and he and I were at the hospital. I said, we have to go back and we have to get off this job site. He's like, Mom, how are we going to do this? I was like, Mom has a plan. So he's like, well, I want to go tell. There was a certain person that he wanted to hug and tell himself. He didn't want it to be like all together. I said, fine. So we get back there. All of those leadership skills, all of the coping mechanisms, my faith is talking to me. I'm looking at these people like, I have to do right by you. You have to get paid for today. You have to service your whole day. I've got to do what's right for you. Even though I'm numb inside and have not really sure how I'm breathing or standing, I still have to do this. And I look back on that day and think I had strength of probably everyone I know, because I have no idea. I keep saying that all of my training and all of my reading and all of the coaching I've done for other people and facing a loss that obviously I didn't expect, and it wasn't over. I now fully owned a company that I never ran. We had jobs coming up. You know, I had to find, other people to run those jobs. So we get off this job site. I get everything secured in a location. My day's not done. Dear friends of ours own another company, similar company. You know, they're like, what can I take off your plate? I'm like, I don't know how to do any of the stuff that's coming up, because the 4th of July weekend was the next big weekend. They just stepped in and said, what do you need? How can I serve you? And I look back and think, that's it. You know, I served those people that worked for us right. I took care of them in a moment where you have to stand up and be strong and say, this is how we're going to get off this job site. And I didn't know what the exit plan from this event was at all. So I was making it up and thinking at warp speed before I walked back onto that site and had made all the phone calls where all of our equipment and trucks and trailers were going to go, because I didn't know what the exit plan had been. My husband had never told me. I think if you don't own those leadership skills, there's no way. You can't manage your own company through crisis if you are not working on your leadership skills and you have those things in place. There is no way.
Mm-hmm.
And I do a lot of talk about, obviously, with COVID, I've had some of those hard conversations with people.
Yeah.
Oh, and organizations.
Sure.
If
folks are inspired by this conversation, and I hope we get a chance to chat some more and explore some more, Bonnie, and maybe hear some success stories.
Yeah.
It's really beautiful work that you're doing. I encourage folks to go to the website, www.b, that's the letter B, and then powered, the word powered, coaching.com. The letter B, and then the word powered, coaching.com. Bonnie, thanks for joining us. A true pleasure. And thanks for opening up
about
your experiences.
Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. And I do hope we chat some more down the line. That would be a pleasure as well.
Yeah, that would be good. Thank you so much again.
You're welcome. You take care now and have a great day. And thanks for listening, everybody. This is your host, Jim Masters, thanking you for your time this time. Till next time as well, we thank you for being here on this episode and all the episodes of our award-winning series, Close Up Radio. Till next time, have a terrific day, and thanks for joining us. Bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television, Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.